For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Come around the Word of God, and I pray that you're coming with an enthusiastic attitude. Glory to God. An expectant one. You're not just saying ho-hum, coming around the Word of God again today. No, we must have expectancy in our lives. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that every one of us be open to you and that you speak to our hearts. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we praise you for what you have provided, the abundance in our life, the continuing blessing in our life. We thank you, Lord, for that. Let every heart be opened to hear the word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. So we're looking at attitudes for strong faith. Part one. I expect this to be a three-part sermon series. Attitudes for strong faith. Now, every one of us know what it's like to be around people who have bad attitudes. Bad attitudes means that they don't want to do the right thing. Sometimes you have children that have bad attitudes about things. Their attitude is that they want to be rebellious, or they want to do their own thing, or they want to be petulant, and so on. We can go on and on about that. But we can have a good attitude. And I believe if you start off with children and instruct them in the way of having the right attitudes about things, it should flow on into adulthood as well. And that is to look at things in the right way and with a right heart, because it all comes down to the way the heart is. So the state of our heart determines the reception of the Word of God. You can imagine that if your heart has got unbelief or rebellion in it, it's not going to be receptive to the Word of God, because it'd be like that stony ground. Okay, the Word is a seed, not like a seed, it is a seed. The Word is a seed, a spiritual seed that goes into the ground of the heart. So right attitudes of the heart prepare that ground for us. We're going to look at a number of attitudes. The first two is having a willing and cheerful heart. So willingness and cheerfulness in the Lord. And the second, which we may not get to today, but we'll see, is having a believing attitude or a believing heart. So let's start with the willing and cheerful. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. We know that there has to be a hunger for the things of God. A hunger for the things of God. It can't be, oh, the things of God will just come and then I'll be hungry. It's no, we have to be proactive in our faith and our reaching out and doing what the Lord wants us to do as he has directed us to do. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, and we're looking at verses 6 to 8. And here we see a real key to blessing opening up into our lives. And the Bible shows us that God has provided by his grace the things of salvation, and it's by faith that we have to take hold of those things. We have to take hold of them by faith. So having a willing and cheerful heart is very, very important to receiving the things of God by faith. Starting from verse 6, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now we see a few things here we need to understand. And as faith people, we would understand the law of sowing and reaping. That is, that if we sow, we can expect there'll be a harvest down the track in relation to what we sow. So obviously if we're sowing good things, we can expect there'll be a good harvest. But it also is related to how much we're sowing. We can't just perhaps sow a seed way back 20 years ago and that's all we're doing. That's all we did. If we are continual sowers in the kingdom of God, because that's the way the kingdom of God operates, by sowing and reaping, if we're continual sowers, then we're going to have continual harvest as we take hold of those by faith. You actually have to go out into the harvest field and start reaping in order to get that harvest. It doesn't just come about by doing nothing. And so a lot of people, and this is where a lot of people go wrong, is they do a bit of sowing, but they never actively take hold of the harvest and reap. We'll talk a little bit about that as well in the future. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." In this section, even though, you know, there is an emphasis on the financial aspect, we're not just talking about giving financially here. We're talking about the giving of things like your time, your effort, your resources. Yes, your money can come into it. Well, that's part of your resources. Giving of yourself. Giving of yourself. Being a giving type of person. And a giving type of person is a person that is a sowing type of person. And they understand this. They understand that the way God operates is that we sow by faith. We first of all seek the Lord. Where should we sow? Because, you know, you can go and give money away or sow your time and effort into all the wrong things. Okay? Which have no spiritual benefit whatsoever. You can go and say, "Well, I'm going to go and help that group over there." But unless the Lord has shown you that's what He wants you to do, that's not going to be helpful at all. And there are people, Christians, who are helping all the wrong things and the wrong people. And so the type of harvest they get is not the harvest of blessing. What we have to see is that when we are directed and shown where to harvest, we do it bountifully. We give our all into it. We're not half-hearted about things. We're not half-hearted when we're doing the things of the Lord. So we see in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. This is where it's happening, in the heart. In the heart, in the heart, in the inner man, so let him give. Now, I have to emphasize this is not just talking about financial giving. It's talking about giving of your time, giving of your effort, giving of your resources, of which finance is part of that. But as you purpose, notice that word purpose. You're making a clear decision, and it's an attitude. You're making a clear decision in your heart. This is where the attitudes come out, in the heart. Where you're purposing in your heart to do something. You're purposing, "Well, I'm going to sow. I'm going to do this. So it's not, it doesn't become a mechanistic type of thing. It becomes, Lord, what do you want me to do and how do you want me to do it? Now, in my life, I can definitely say that, you know, and I was born again in 1979. That makes this year, 2019, my 40th year in the Lord. And I can definitely say that I'm sowing more now and in a more directed way than I was in my first year of being a Christian. You see what I'm saying? So we grow in this area. We grow in this area of being able to purpose, to see the right purpose in his heart, so that him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now that's interesting. God loves a cheerful giver. Think about that. God loves a cheerful giver. The God of the universe loves that cheerful attitude. Do you know that we also love that as well, don't we? We love people cheerfully doing things, cheerfully giving of themselves or the time or effort or money. You know how hard it is if you know, you might say, look, can you do that? And it's almost like a grudging, oh, all right. You know, it doesn't sit right with you, does it? It doesn't sit right. But we're made in the image of God, you understand that? So because we're made in the image of God, there's lots of similarities between God and ourselves. God loves a cheerful giver, and it's similar with us. You know, we love people cheerfully giving as well. You know, I know in the ministries that I'm working in, it's much better and easier to work with someone who's cheerfully doing something. You know, not having to. And I don't try to force people anyway. But you might ask someone, look, can you do that? You might have a bit of patience with them, and you should have patience. Faith and patience inherits the promises, but there can become a limit if you see that there's a barrier there, or there's a lack of willingness, or there's grudging. You know, you can't persist with that. The Lord gave me a word several years ago: you can't push people through walls. And I was trying to do that for a time. But you can't do it. And in our lives, you know how it is. Even in your work situation, wherever you're working, if your colleagues around you are not willing to work in a team or things like that, they're grudging or not cheerful, you know how it is. If they've got a bad attitude, you know how it is. See, if God loves a cheerful giver, I know you and I love a cheerful giver too. All right? And so if you're put in charge of something, that's one thing you really do value, is when people are giving of themselves. And God values it. God values that type of thing. God loves a cheerful giver. But you know, there's a reward that comes out of that. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God wants us to do good works. Okay, we're not on the earth to do nothing. We have purpose in the Lord. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Okay, we are called for a purpose on the earth. We're called into the kingdom of God. We've got a purpose. So seek the Lord. We've been talking a lot about seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek his face. Seek him. Ask him what he wants of you. And do it with all your might. All thy might. Remember what we read about that. All thy might. Put your hand to the plough and get into it. Don't be looking around and comparing yourself to other people. Say, this is what the Lord wants me to do. I'm doing it with all my might, willingly, cheerfully. See, this is going to be a key attitude for strong faith, because strong faith is able to take hold of what God has for his people. God loves a cheerful giver. He can work with that type of person. You see what I'm saying? Exactly like us. If you're in charge of someone or you're working with people, you love that type of thing too. You want to be around that type of thing as well. You're just like the Lord. So God is able then to make all grace abound towards you. You always have all sufficiency in all things. That word all is a good word. All sufficiency in all things. That's God's will for you. I can't understand anyone not thinking that God doesn't want you to prosper. He wants you to prosper. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. So he wants you to be rich. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to increase. And not so that you're covetous. Not so that you think, oh, it's all me. No, give all the glory to the Lord. All the glory to him, because that's where the grace abounds from him. And it's in your work situation, it's in wherever you are, wherever you're on this earth doing things, God wants you to acknowledge him. So we've been talking a bit about this cheerfulness, this willingness. Willing, having a willing heart. Let's have a look at an example in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 19. And you'll see how wonderful it is and how it all fits together. So we'll look at an example in the Old Testament. And we'll also look at an example in the New Testament. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 19. So we're going to read right through this. This is 1 to 19. In 1 Chronicles 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. So can you see? You know there's work great for us as well on this earth. God has many things he wants done on the earth. It's a great privilege to work for the Lord. He's talking about the palace, building of the palace, is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, verse 2, now I have prepared with what? All my might. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. So what's he doing? All his might. Where did he get the might from? God had already put it into him. Okay? Where do you get your abilities from? God has put it into you. You might be a good writer, you might be a good researcher, you might be a good whatever. God has put that into you. Praise the Lord. So do whatever you are called to do with all your might. All your might. All your might doesn't mean half-hearted, does it? All your might. For the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of diverse colours, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. You see, obviously, David, in his preparation, was giving his best. Okay, he's giving his best. Now that's a good attitude, isn't it? You're giving your best with all your might, willingly. giving your best. Verse 3, moreover, because I have set my, what? Affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even, and he goes into things he's given, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses with all the gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate this service this day unto the Lord? So he's asking for workers now. He's saying, look, I've been an example to you. I've been putting with all my might, all of this investment into the house of the Lord. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Okay, you may not be able to put what obviously amounted to millions and millions of dollars worth of stuff into the house of the Lord, but you can do something. There's no person that doesn't have something that they can willingly give of themselves into the ways of God, into the things of God. So he asks this question, who then is willing? This is the attitude. He doesn't want those who are unwilling. He doesn't say, who then is unwilling to do it? I want you to stand up and be ready to go. That's not what he's saying, is he? He says, who is willing? Willing. And I ask you the question, are you willing? Are you willing? Okay, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Verse 6, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands of and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So you can see that it caused the leaders to be joyful, and the people, because of their willingness, out of a willing heart, were also joyful, because it says then the people rejoiced. You want joy in your heart? Have a willing attitude, a willingness in yourself, a cheerfulness to do the things of the Lord. Okay? Get rid of that grudging, that unwillingness. Get rid of that. Just keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles 29 and go across to Isaiah 1 verses 19 and 20. Isaiah 1 verses 19 and 20. It's one we know quite well, but it's good to bring out here, because the willingness is such a crucial thing in doing the things of God. Such a crucial thing. If you feel as though you're forced, you have to get that. You have to deal with that. You can't just let it be dormant in you, because that will eat away at you. Notice what it says in Isaiah 1, verse 19 and 20. If ye be willing and obedient, they go hand in hand, don't they? Willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, obviously that's the opposite to be willing and obedient, isn't it? And there'd be a lot in that category. Ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You see, what's going to attract the good things into your life? What will attract the good things into your life is the willingness and obedience. But if there's refusal and rebellion, that's going to attract the devouring type of things into your life. And I believe there's many all around us that are in that category. God is searching for those right across the earth who have a perfect heart toward Him. And part of that is being willing and obedient. Not just obedient, not just, oh yes, I'll do it. You, oh, I don't really want to, but I'll do it. God's not interested in that. And neither would you be either. Think about it. You don't want people just to, out of a grudging necessity, do things. You want them to be willing and to be enthusiastic. And that comes from being willing. And to be cheerful about it. We all like that type of thing. We love that type of thing. Just like God loves a cheerful giver. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. We'll read verse 9 again. It says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So there's joy all around, isn't there, through this attitude of being willing. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee. Do you note that? Where does riches and honour come from? Of God. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. So where do you get your might from? From God. What should you do with that might that you have been given from God? Do things with all thy might. So apply yourself. In fact, we read in previous sermons that we are to love God with all our might. Continuing in verse 12, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. And God, that's what God wants for his people, for them to be great and strong. Why? Because he can accomplish with willing people, with strong people, with great people, he can accomplish things which he wants done. And he has chosen that way to use men and women of God. Verse 13, now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. Now that tells us we don't have a lot of time, you know. If a person lives 80, 90, 100 years, just think about that's not a lot of time on the earth compared to the thousands of years that the earth has been around. It's not a lot of time compared to eternity. And the Bible compares it to a vapor, compares it here to a shadow. Our days on the earth there is a shadow and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. So where has everything you've been given come from? It's come from the Lord already. It's come from the Lord. And we need to acknowledge that. And we need to not acknowledge that not just once in our life, but on a continual basis. Our talents, our resources, our time, what we have comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. So what's God looking at? Is he just looking at external, oh, I'll do it? And externally it might look as though you're obedient. What is he looking at? He's looking at the heart, isn't he? He's looking at your heart. He's looking at that. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves willingness in his people. He's trying the heart, okay? And that trying of the heart is a testing of the heart. He's trying the heart and I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Can you see? Can you see? Isn't it great? Isn't it great? And I know personally in my life that I get great joy out of seeing people willingly do things, and get very little joy, if any, when I see people who are just going through the motions. So notice what it says in verse 18. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of thine, of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. We have to prepare our heart before the Lord. Verse 19. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Praise the Lord. Now, we could go on, but what you see here is a clear example of how willingness and joy is something that the Lord values greatly, and that the people of God should value greatly as well. Let's have a look also at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. Here's an example in the New Testament of people who were willing. And we see that once again, it brings good things. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 5. Now, a willing heart will extend you. You're doing things all your might. You're putting your hand to the plow. You're not just waiting for things to happen. You're going into it with a wholeheartedness. So 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to verse 5. Starting from verse 1, it says, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Once again, God's grace, God's enabling, God's blessing bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So notice joy is involved here. Joy. Verse 3, For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. It's a willingness. Verse 4, Praying with us, with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5, And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So what are these people giving? What are they people doing? They're giving, aren't they? They're giving. They're not just giving a gift. We see that they do give a gift in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we'd receive the gift. But they're giving of their own selves in verse 5. First gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They're giving of their own self. Does God love a cheerful giver? Is that giving just about financial gifts? It's not, is it? It's about having a willing heart to give of your time, your effort, your resources. And your resources is not just your money, but it's having that willingness, that cheerfulness to go on, to be people that are applying themselves with all their might, praise the Lord. A willingness of the heart. A willingness of the heart. And so they gave their own selves to the Lord. Now, keep in mind that everything they have, including their own selves, has been directly from God. Everything they have is directly from God. But God wants us to willingly give to Him, to have that willing attitude for strong faith. Give back to Him. Sowing. This is sowing abundantly. And it says, and unto us by the will of God. So these are people that clearly wanted to match up with the will of God. So attitudes for strong faith. We've covered this morning having a willing and cheerful heart. And I want to go into the next time having a believing heart. It's absolutely crucial if you're to have faith operating strongly in your life. And of course, a believing heart is also a heart that translates into speaking correctly and acting correctly, which we'll look at as well. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. And Lord, we give of ourselves willingly to you and to your work, Lord. And Father, I ask that as we have looked into your word, that you impress upon us how important it is. How important it is for the increase of our faith, both here and as we go forth. And how important it is for the increase of our life. And that we see what you value. And that is that you value a willing and cheerful giver. And I pray, Lord, that every person here who is demonstrating a willing and cheerful giving of themselves and of their resources and time, that, Lord, you bless abundantly your people. Thank you, Lord, that we have all sufficiency in all things. We take hold of that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your people, not just here, but right across the earth, right across this city, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are working with those who are willing to do your will and to go your way. We praise you, Lord, for that. We also ask, Lord, that you put us in contact with those who are of like heart and like mind and have a willing, cheerful, giving attitude. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.